This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wahdah. Wassalatu wassalamu ala man la nabiyya ba'dah. Ala man la nabiyya ba'dah. Wa la ummata ba'da ummatihi. Wa la kitaba ba'da kitabih. Wa la shari'ata ba'da shari'atih. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنما المؤمنون إخوة صدق الله العظيم. Respected elders and brothers, every new day, every new sunshine in today's world heralds a new challenge for humanity in general and the Ummah in particular. And recently, the challenge that was there and is there in front of us is the situation of the Muslims in Kashmir. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for them. Har aane wala din ummat-e muslima ke liye ek nayi aazmaish ke saath tulu hota hai. Aaj Kashmir mein naye mazalim ka silsila shuru ho chuka hai. And this is a place and a land which is on the foot of the Himalayas, which is one of the most beautiful spots and one of the most beautiful regions in the world. It was the Muslim ruler Shah Jahan who said that if there has to be a paradise in this earth, hami'ast, 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 it would have been in Kashmir, it would have been in Kashmir. And that land has been raked with violence, oppression and bloodshed for a long period of time. And let us give you some aspects with regard to the historical background, with regard to the conflict. Where does this conflict, where does it start from? And today, for a little while, I'm going to be speaking with regard to some political jargon, political terms and political history. The conflict in Jammu and Kashmir started off at the time of the partition of India and Pakistan. And many would say that the colonizing powers, the way they leave behind, and when they leave behind, together with the oppression, when they leave behind certain amount of disputes and arguments so that the people whom they have colonized cannot rise up again. They will always be caught up in disputes and arguments. Now, this was at that particular time, according to what was the agreement in the breakaway between Pakistan and India. And that itself, it's also another whole political history, whether it was good for the Muslims, not good for the Muslims. There were two group of Muslims, ulama, who were disagreeing with one another. Some were in favor of partition, of formation of Pakistan. Some were saying that Pakistan should not be formed. And amongst those who were in favor of the formation of Pakistan were ulama like Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi, Maulana Shabir Ahmed Usmani, Mufti Shafi Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh. And those who were not in favor of partition were people like Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madni, Mufti Kifayatullah, etc., and many other academics. Nevertheless, the partition took place. And part of the partition was that in those areas where Muslims were in a majority, there should be a referendum to ascertain whether they want to remain in India or whether they want to join Pakistan. And that was how it was supposed to be. There was also the situation of over 20 princely states. The princely states, which were ruled by the Maharajas or the Nawabs, were given the option whether to be independent or whether to be part of India. Now, that in itself, while they were given the option, it didn't matter much. Like, for example, the Nawab of Hyderabad, the princely state of Hyderabad, the Deccan, the Hyderabad state, they choose to be independent, but they were annexed very soon after by the Indian army. And of course, given such a small princely state in the middle of India, they could not resist, despite the fact that there was an agreement according to that. Now, the Kashmir situation was quite different in the sense that it was an area which was majority Muslims, so 13 million people who were there. They were majority Muslims, so according to the agreement of that time, they should have been given an option of either remaining with India or joining with Pakistan. There was one, however, difficulty and complexity, that Kashmir was ruled by a Hindu Maharaja by the name of Hari Singh. And he delayed this particular matter, did not make a decision. Although, according to every situation, because Muslims were in a majority there, their decision should have been taken into account, their views should have been taken into account. And in fact, it is historically proven that the All India Jammu Muslim Conference at that time had given a resolution that given the fact that this is a Muslim population and majority Muslim population, we would like to join Pakistan. However, that was in some way or the other, for because of various reasons, it did not come into fruition. And the Hindu Maharaja delayed the matter until, through the means of different, you know, conspiracies, he signs an instrument of accession to the Indian state at the time of partition. Now, this was against what was the norm and the agreements of that time with princely states and with areas with Muslim majority. So this was how it was. Kashmir ki ek crore, 30 lakh abadi aksar musalman hai. Kashmir ka tanazo, wo jo hai na, wo partition ke waqt se shuru hua. Muslim aksariyat par, is khitte par, Hindu Maharaja Hari Singh ka raj tha. Kashmiriyon ki khwahish ke mutabik, aur us khitte par musalmanon ki aksariyat ki wajah se, unko ye azam, aur unke liye ye, unki raay ki, ye hai ke wo mana jana chahiye tha, ke Pakistaniyon ke saath ilhaq hona chahiye tha, ya azari ko kabul kare. So they were given this particular option of either joining Pakistan or being independent. However, this was not taken into account, an instrument of accession because of conspiracies. Saazishon ki wajah se aisa nahi hua, aur Kashmir jaise ke India ke ek hissa shumar hone laga. It became part and parcel of India. However, given the fact that there was a doubt, what was the doubt? The doubt was that is it part of India? Is it part of Pakistan? Do you take into account the situation which was according to the agreement? There were two special clauses that were made for the people of Kashmir, keeping in mind the disputed matter of the region. Right? And therefore we came section 370A and section 35. Now, recently, you have seen much of it in the news. And right, many a times, we don't know all these terminologies. 370 kya hota hai, section 35 kya hota hai, we don't know. But we are supposed to know. I mean, a Muslim is not supposed to be so ignorant. He's supposed to be streetwise. Reminds me of a situation in a slightly humorous incident. A very famous professor one day went to go and see a car showroom. He didn't need a car, but the car salesman was very good. So he sold him a car. He started speaking to him so well, he sold him a car. So when he went back, his wife said, "You bought a car, you didn't need a car. You know, who made you a fool? Who made you buy a car?" He said, "That salesman." So he said, "You are a PhD, and an ordinary salesman fooled you to buying a car that you didn't need. Maybe he's got a degree greater than yours." Go and ask him what degree he got. So the next day he went to ask him, he said, "What degree you got?" He said, "FSF. Now, first of all, he was fooled to buy a car, and his wife told him, "You are a PhD, and this man made you buy a car. You didn't even know about it, and you bought this car. What made you buy this car?" And now you tell him, "You got a degree. I didn't even know the degree." He said, "What is a degree? What does FSF mean?" He said, "Fail standard 5. So sometimes all of these things, FSF, we don't know. But what is the reality? What is 370? In 1949, a special provision was added to the Indian's constitution, providing autonomy to Jammu and Kashmir and the people of Jammu and Kashmir. Article 370 allowed Jammu and Kashmir to be different from all the states of India, to have its own constitution, a separate flag, and independence over all matters except foreign affairs, defense, and communication. So the local matters were supposed to be decided by the state. They were given autonomy with regard to it. This is what was meant by Section 370 of the Constitution of India. The special status given to Kashmir was a recognition that in this particular matter, the statehood and the merit of Kashmir remained outstanding, and it was supposed to be judged by the self-determination and by a plebiscite, which was to take into account the will of the people of Kashmir, and it was a disputed territory. Therefore, this particular section 370 was made part of the Indian constitution. In fact, it is historically narrated that the then President of India, Jawaharlal Nehru, and then the United Nations Security Council has regarded Kashmir to be a disputed territory to be resolved by the will of the Kashmiri people, otherwise it will remain a disputed territory. There was another section that was added on to that, and that was Section 35. Section 35 was that ownership and property in Kashmir will only be owned by the people of Kashmir, and it will not be owned and will not be able to be purchased by people outside of Kashmir. Now, that was two sections in the constitution by law that was accepted by international norms, the United Nations Security Council, given as a pledge by Nehru at that time, and it has become part and parcel of the Indian constitution. Now, what has happened since then? Although thereafter that was a situation, there was a certain degree of tension that always remained, but there was some form of acceptance of this, that Jammu and Kashmir will be autonomous. They had his own rulers, it had his own governors, until 1989. In 1989, the situation changed for the worse. Now, many matters we can raise. Why did it change? The Kashmiris were now becoming frustrated by the plebiscite that was pledged was not coming to fruition. So they took to the streets. They started protesting. Some of them went to Pakistan. Now, of course, then some people would say Pakistan, you know, promised them and they did it for their own reasons, for their own purposes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. But from 1989, there's been a great change. That change perhaps had been because of the frustration of the Kashmiri people that they did not see any of what was promised to them being materialized. Thereafter, in that 1989 till now, conservatively, sometimes we throw figures we don't even realize, 70 to 80,000 Kashmiris have been killed. You know, and 70 to 80,000 is conservative. Otherwise, it could be hundreds of thousands. They have been killed by the Indian army. The Kashmiri region is per ratio a place throughout the world where there is most military compared to any other place in the world. There is over 500,000 Indian soldiers in Kashmir, in a small area of Kashmir, over 500,000, and now they have been added, more thousands have been added because of what has happened. Now this, where is this new situation? What has happened? India, you know, have, because of the majority of the right wing, has revoked Article 370 of the Constitution that granted the state of Jammu and Kashmir a degree of autonomy over the years. This step is seen as an effective annexation of the territory against international law, against the agreements, and against what the founder members of Israel, I mean, is India, I said Israel, but maybe there is some, you know, against the founder members of Israel, India had agreed upon. And then, of course, they also revoked Section 35A of the Constitution, which gave special dispensation because of the disputed nature of Jammu and Kashmir, and they revoked it. And why they revoked it? It was to try and annex the situation. First of all, there was some form of control, but now they effectively and legally have annexed it against international norms, and they have also wanted to create a stranglehold over Kashmir by changing its demographic makeup. So previously, only people of Kashmir were allowed to buy property in Kashmir. Now they have changed that with the intention of changing the demographic nature of Jammu and Kashmir, which is a Muslim majority. And in anticipation of an angry reaction to the move, which has already happened, we have seen people going out into the streets, and we have seen people not worried with regard to the consequences. Because after all, how much do you still, you know, make sabr? After all, you become tired with regard to oppression. They have come out on the streets, and in anticipation of the angry reaction, the Indian government has deployed massive army, armed personnel, police personnel over the state, imposed a curfew, curtailing free movement in and around Kashmir, and disrupting all forms of communication such as internet and phone networks. You can't get through to the people of Kashmir, and you can't get through to them in terms of internet. And they have done this virtual blackout what is happening in Jammu and Kashmir, raising a concern of violation of human rights, as if human rights was not violated before. This is a situation that is what is actually happening at the moment. And the special rights of Kashmir will no more be applicable as the population administratively gets incorporated into India. There is now heightening tension in the region between the countries, some of which have, in fact, most of the countries around their region, India, Pakistan, China, has atomic weapons, has atom bombs, and then of course the anger of the people of Kashmir, and there is heightening tension because of these steps that have been taken with sinister motives by the Indian government. And together with that, we also find the lynching of Muslims in other parts of India, which is on the rise since the coming into the right-wing government in India. Now, this is not only something that is there. In the previous situations, there is such great human rights violation which is happening in Kashmir and other parts of India. India ke 5 lakh afwaj makbuzai Kashmir mein hai. In 2011, in Human Rights Commission ke report ke mutabik, hazarha Kashmiriyo ko goliyo se chalni shuda zakhmi ke chalni shuda jisham na maloom kabro mein madfoon hai. According to a 2011 Human Rights Report, just to give you an example, they said thousands of Kashmiris have been killed without any identification and they have been placed in unknown graves. As I said, with regard to it, that 70,000 people have been killed according to conservative, you know, official reports. Unofficially, it might be even much more than 100,000 people have been killed by the oppressive forces that are reigning over Kashmir. And the United Nations Human Commission, the United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights, in this July, released a report citing serious concern about abuses by India in particular. And it cited two special, you know, powers that were given to entrench this oppression. And you can imagine, today we talk of human rights in an era where people today talk of human rights, this is a situation. You know, and one of them is the Special Powers Act. And the United Nations High Commission for Human Rights said that this act is an obstacle to accountability. And what is that? What is this particular act? What does it give the Indian forces the right? That since this law came into force, the Indian government has not granted permission to anyone to prosecute any security force of India with regard to any human rights violation. I one day met an activist, you know, from India with regard to it and said, there are thousands of cases of rape, but we cannot bring it to court because we are prohibited from bringing it to court. Now, what type of human rights is this? That even if you know that a security force has committed rape, you cannot bring them to court because it is prohibited by the law of that land. It can only be brought in front of a military tribunal and you never get any guilty verdict from the military tribunal. That is a situation with regard to what is happening. And over the years, together with that, what has become in Kashmir the norm? Detention without trial, political murders, abduction, arson, abuse and rape of women in a massive scale as a strategy to demean and to bring down the will of the people and the intention to fight against the oppression that is meted out to them. And then there was a report that said it was a strategy of the Indian forces to kill people and to shoot them in the eyes to blind them deliberately. This was done by the Indian so-called, you know, army that was there to protect the people of the land. This is what they had done with regard to it. And one of it was a key obstacle to accountability was the Special Power Act, which came into force, which no one could bring anyone from the security personnel in front of civilian courts. And then there was another one, a Public Safety Act, that allows detention without trial, without reason, without rhyme for 2 years. You could detain a person for 2 years without charging him. You could detain a person for 2 years just because you have a womb, just because you feel like it. this in an era where people talk about human rights, and this is supposed to be a place where people talk about democracy and such large democracies, etc. This is a situation we can continue going on and on with regard to the situation. It is pretty grim. It is of concern. What do we and you and I do with regard to the whole situation? It is something that we need to be keeping in mind. What do we do? The first of it is that we should remember the oppressed people of Kashmir the way we remember the oppressed people of other lands. And all of us, we are human beings. We are supposed to show compassion and concern with regard to human rights and with regard to human beings. Innama al-mu'minuna ikhwa. All believers are brothers unto one another. If it's a Muslim, we will have special, more compassion towards them. Otherwise, walaqad karramna bani Adam. Each and every human being is valuable. Allah has given dignity. And when we make mention of the oppressed people of the world, like the people in Palestine and other places, we must make mention and we must have concern for the people of Kashmir. Jis tarah hum dusre mazloomon ko yaad karte hain, to khas taur par Kashmiriyon ko bhi yaad rakhiyega. Apne duaon mein, apne fikr mein Kashmiriyon ko yaad rakhiyega. Somehow or the other, because of this whole particular, you know, situation of giving the impression of India being a superpower and being a financial power of the world and the greatest and largest democracy, we have tended to stay away from regarding the people of Kashmir and worrying about the people of Kashmir. We must teach our children and our community about Kashmir and other parts of the world where humanity is suffering. Where appropriate protests and activities highlighting the rights of the oppressed are held, we must show our solidarity through participation, support, charity, and whenever a call is made, we should be able to be amongst those who take part in those particular type of protests or with regard to those particular places where the oppression of the Kashmiri people are highlighted. We must try and continue to work with governments and other role players to be able to highlight the oppression of the people of Kashmir so that there could be some form of solution. We as Muslims also believe there is a cause and reaction, and part of our cause and reaction is we should turn towards istighfar, turn towards making and turning towards Almighty Allah. Allah Ta'ala karne wale zaat hai. Jab Allah Ta'ala karne wale zaat hai, to Allah Ta'ala ki taraf rujoo kare. Recently, Hazrat Mufti Ahmad Khanpuri, Madda Zillu Al-Ali, one of our great scholars in India, has made this call for every Muslim to make 300 times Astaghfirullah every day. And he said, when you make Astaghfar, don't say Astaghfirullah, say Nastaghfirullah. Teen so martaba Nastaghfirullah, har roz iska wird kijiye. Make every day 300 times Nastaghfirullah. Why Nastaghfirullah? You are making istighfar on behalf of the entire ummah. Perhaps because of our istighfar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will turn towards us with kindness. And also never forget the power of dua. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, whenever you make dua for a person who is absent, you make a dua for a Muslim who is absent, Allah ta'ala accepts your duas. Allah ta'ala accepts your duas. When you make dua for a Muslim who is not present with you, Allah Ta'ala appoints an angel to say Ameen to your duas. Jab bhi aap ghaib musliman ke liye dua karte ho, to Allah Ta'ala ek farishta ko muqarrar kare ki uske dua ke upar aap Ameen kahiye. So let us not forget the powers of duas. Let us make dua. Inshallah, I would make an appeal. In fact, today after Jummah, all of us must read 2 rakats of Salatul Hajat for the people of Kashmir and for the people of the world who are oppressed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give relief to all the people who are oppressed. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us justice. And Allah ta'ala grant us dignity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us, you know, rulers who are kind and compassionate in this country, in other parts of the world, and in particular the area that we have highlighted in today's bayan. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.